Welcome to Elderberry Tales. Grab a blanket and some blue booties. It's time for a story. Today's story is Blue Booties from Wild Rescues, Amazing Stories from a Wildlife Shelter by Amanda Mander. 15-year-old Sam was the first to see the large bird. Floating in the sea, its yellow beak pointed skyward, with wings spread wide as a basketball player is tall. With great effort, the bird stretched and flapped, rising just a few feet in the air before collapsing into the sea again. Pushing his blonde hair from his eyes, Sam watched. His stomach felt tight as he sensed the bird was in trouble. "Look over there," Sam shouted to Neil, his uncle who'd taken him crabbing in Windy Bay that day. Neil clambered over the crab pots to stand next to Sam and looked through his binoculars.
"Goodness, I've never seen a seagull that big before," Neil said.
"It's having trouble flying, isn't it?" Sam's voice was tight with worry.
"Yep, looks that way. I'll pull the boat closer so we can see more clearly what's going on."
The Boston Whaler motor interrupted the silence around them. Neil brought the boat alongside the struggling bird. Its feathers were a rainbow of browns, and although it was a big bird, it looked very skinny.
"Sam, hand me that fishing net, and I'll try to catch it."
The bird continued to stretch its wings, flap, and collapse back into the water. Neil lowered the net just behind the bird, and in a fast whip of his arms, scooped it up into the net and brought the bird to the boat's deck. Wearing leather gloves, Sam released the net from the bird. Sam gasped. Standing up, the bird came to his knees. Its feathers smelled of the sea.
"This bird's too big for a seagull, Uncle Neil," said Sam.
"What is it then?"
Neil looked closely at the bird.
"I don't know, but I think it's time to call Nancy."
Nancy was the veterinarian at the wildlife shelter near where Sam lived. She was in her late 20s, with long, straight red hair that reached her waist. Sam had volunteered at the shelter and knew Nancy well. He remembered when she first arrived a few years ago. She'd just finished studying wildlife rehabilitation and was passionate about helping hurt animals return to their wild homes. Sam explained what had happened over the phone. Nancy was on her way to meet them. Windy Bay was an hour's drive from the shelter, so in the meantime, Sam and Neil gave the bird a bowl of water to drink and carefully placed the bird in an old crate that normally held life jackets. Then they headed back to the marina. Shortly after they arrived, they spotted Nancy's red pickup in the parking lot. Nancy was running toward them, her hair flying behind her.
"Hey there, I think you guys caught an albatross."
Nancy's face was flush with excitement. She knew a lot about birds, but she'd never seen an albatross before. They usually live in faraway places, like New Zealand and Japan. Sam carried the crate with the bird inside onto the dock. Nancy peered inside. Tiny black eyes on either side of a large yellow bill looked up at her. The bill's curve helps the albatross tear up their fish dinners. Their sight is so powerful, their small eyes can spot fish from way up high in the sky.
"It is an albatross! A short-tailed albatross!" said Nancy excitedly.
"And it seems like she hasn't eaten in a while," replied Sam.
The albatross looked exhausted. Nancy thanked Neil for his help and said goodbye. Sam volunteered to help Nancy prepare the bird for the journey to the wildlife shelter. He wrapped the albatross gently in a blanket, wondering if it was a boy or a girl.
It is very hard to tell the gender of an albatross. But because the head feathers were brown instead of white, Sam guessed it was a teenager.
"Do you think she's lost?" asked Sam.
"She? Your guess at gender is as good as mine."
"She must be lost. She had to have flown here. But from where?" wondered Nancy.
"Let's name her Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, who lost her way and wanted to go home," Sam said.
Nancy laughed. "Perfect name. But where is her home?" Just then, Nancy spied a shiny band on Dorothy's leg.
"Oh my," she gasped. "She's been tagged."
Nancy explained to Sam that scientists tag birds to learn more about their lives, where they fly, and what they eat. The tags are as light as a feather. They usually contain a number that maps to where the bird was tagged.
"I'll look it up on the computer when we get back," Sam said. He was excited to solve the mystery.
Back at the wildlife shelter, Dorothy was very popular. Many people wanted to have a look at her. They had never seen an albatross before. Nancy reminded everyone to whisper to keep from scaring Dorothy. Nancy also put a blanket over Dorothy's crate to help Dorothy feel safe. She wasn't used to seeing so many people and hearing so many loud sounds like cars zooming by. Nancy knew they needed to feed Dorothy fish to help her gain weight. Sam chopped up some slimy red salmon and put it in Dorothy's crate. Dorothy started eating right away. After Dorothy's meal, Nancy gave her some gas to make her sleep so that Nancy could examine her. She carefully placed Dorothy on the exam table in the shelter hospital to make sure her wings and legs were working. Nancy spread out Dorothy's wings. From tip to tip, they stretched across the room. Luckily, the wings were okay. No breaks. Nancy then lifted Dorothy's short legs to look closely at her webbed feet.
"Her webbing's torn slightly," said Nancy.
"How could that possibly happen when albatrosses are in the air most of the time?" asked Sam.
"Well, when she dove down to get fish, she may have gotten caught in long-line fishing hooks that float on the surface of the water. Trying to free herself, she could have torn the webbing."
"Oh, no," said Sam. "Can we fix that?"
"We're certainly going to try. Luckily, they are small tears. If they were big ones, they could keep her from swimming well. Webbed feet are like paddles made of skin. They help the albatross to swim fast, like oars for a kayak." Because the albatross is an endangered species, Nancy needed to contact the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department before she could start any treatment. A federal government agency, this department monitors endangered species to help increase their survival rates. This includes strict rules around rehabilitation, education for the population, and guidelines for safe fishing. For example, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Department teaches fishermen about alternative nets that don't hurt seabirds. Nancy was particularly passionate about educating people not to discard fishing line in the water. She had seen far too many birds, turtles, seals, and whales unable to swim or fly from being tangled in the lines. These animals can end up dying of starvation. After talking to fish and wildlife, Nancy cleaned Dorothy's feet very carefully and put special cream on them to kill any germs. She made blue plastic booties for Dorothy to wear to keep her feet clean and dry while the injuries healed. The webbing would never grow back, but at least Dorothy's feet would not get infected. Nancy carried Dorothy back to her enclosure, holding her beak closed and her body tightly against her chest. The blue booties stuck out from her embrace.
Now that's a fashion statement, said one of the volunteers in the hallway.
A bird with boots.
Nancy smiled.
There's no mistaking Dorothy for any other bird in the shelter now.
While Nancy was helping Dorothy, Sam was busy on the computer. He looked up the number on the tag on Dorothy's foot. There, he found Dorothy's home, an island in Japan called Toroshima. Sam ran from the office to the hospital ward to find Nancy.
Dorothy is from Toroshima, he gasped.
Wow, that's an albatross sanctuary in Japan. She flew here all the way from Japan? Nancy cried.
Sam discovered that Toroshima was founded to keep the albatross from going extinct. In the 1800s, people killed about 5 million albatrosses for their soft feathers to decorate ladies' hats or stuff pillows. In the 1930s, volcanic eruptions at the only nesting site in Japan left only 50 birds. Albatrosses have also starved by eating garbage mistaken by food and have died in oil spills. But thanks to laws like the Endangered Species Act, albatrosses are safer now. In 1945, there were only 24 albatrosses left. But now, Toroshima is home to 1,900. Sam calculated that Dorothy flew 5,500 miles from Toroshima to Windy Bay. That's the same as flying across the entire United States twice. During her journey, she used the special holes in her bill to find the wind currents. These holes are similar to our human nostrils. The wind currents carried the albatross on the breeze, so she didn't get tired flapping her wings. Albatrosses are surfers on the wind, and this is why they can fly such long distances and fly for long time periods, even for years. They can sleep in the air. Nancy phoned the Toroshima Sanctuary and told a researcher there about finding Dorothy. Toroshima had tagged Dorothy when she was a chick. The researcher told Nancy that Dorothy had friends at the sanctuary who watched her grow up. Now, Dorothy had lots of friends in the Pacific Northwest, too. Nancy checked Dorothy's feet daily and made sure she was eating. When Dorothy got strong enough, Nancy brought her to the flight cage to practice flying. In this tall cage, Nancy bribed Dorothy with food to get her to fly back and forth and up and down the cage. When Dorothy was flying well, Nancy knew it was time to return Dorothy to the wild where she belonged. Nancy had to consult the Fish and Wildlife Organization to plan for Dorothy's release. When the day came, Nancy, Sam, and Dorothy followed the long road back to Windy Bay, where Dorothy was found. Many people who got to know Dorothy came to say goodbye. Uncle Neil came too. The day for Dorothy's release was warm, with cream puff clouds dotting the blue sky. Sam felt a strange mix of happiness and sadness as Nancy set Dorothy's crate on the wide beach. All of Dorothy's American friends gathered around in silence to celebrate her departure. Nancy opened the crate door. After a few seconds, one of Dorothy's webbed feet inched out onto the ground. A few seconds later, Dorothy took another step. She paused and looked around at the crowd. She then walked onto the fine, cool sand and looked out to the ocean. With her lovely wings spread and her feathers waffling in the gentle breeze, Dorothy took two more steps and launched into the sky. Her friends saw her enormous wings flap until Dorothy caught the breeze and started to glide. They watched Dorothy until she was just a small dot in the distance, perhaps on her way home to Japan. This story isn't exactly a true story. There wasn't really an albatross named Dorothy, found by a kid named Sam. But there is a real wildlife shelter, the Westbound Wildlife Shelter on Bainbridge Island, with a veterinarian who does take care of as many wild creatures as she can. Once she was able to help an albatross that was found by fishermen in Nia Bay and brought to the shelter. All around the country and around the world, there are shelters with animal doctors called veterinarians that take care of wild animals that people have found. If you ever find a wild animal in trouble, ask a grown-up to help you. If you can approach it safely, you might be able to gently wrap it up and bring it in to a wildlife rehabilitation center near you. But even if you don't know any wild animals in trouble, there are still lots of things you can do to help wild animals near where you live. Outside my house, we have a little yard, and there's a few things we've done to help wild animals right here. Wild birds can come to our bird feeder in the winter to get a little bit of extra food. We also have a bird house, which is a safe place for birds to build a comfy nest. We have a bee house, which is a piece of wood with holes drilled in it so that mason bees have a safe place to lay their eggs. We even have a bat house that gives mother and baby bats a safe place to sleep. Some of those things might be possible for you to do near your house. But even if those things don't work for you, you can still be a friend to wild creatures. You can look outside your window or in your neighborhood and wave at any birds that are flying by. If you find a spider in your house, you can choose to take it outside gently instead of squishing it. We can all help the wild animals in little ways or in big ways, like the way the sanctuary in Torishima has helped save the albatross from extinction. If you enjoy this story, you should definitely check out Wild Rescues, Amazing Stories from a Wildlife Shelter by Amanda Mander. This is just one of the many stories in this book about a hawk, about a duck family, about blue booties, Dorothy the albatross, and much more. I'll post the Amazon link on my Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for caring about the animals. And thanks for listening to Elderberry Tales. I'll see you next time.